2 Timothy chapter 3 is the verse that I've designated as the theme verse we're looking at here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 says, "And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Speaking of Timothy, and as we think about Timothy, tonight I want us to focus our thoughts on the character of that young man, Timothy. We're going to look at a lot of verses tonight dealing with Timothy. But as you know, as I thought about this, I was trying to think, you know, today's the first day of a new year, and we need to ask ourselves, you know, how is our life going to be this year? How are we going to live this year? What are our goals this year? What do we desire to do to please the Lord this year? What if the Lord returns this year? Are we going to be ready for His returning? If Jesus comes back before the end of the year, and He very well could, are we going to be ready? Are we going to be glad that the way that we've lived is a way that would be pleasing to Him, and that we'll be able to hear Him say, "Well done," or will we stand before Him ashamed? You know, and a lot of the hinges on how we respond to the things of life. And Timothy is a great example to us in the scriptures here, and I want us to look at his life. We'll be looking at most of the verses in the next couple of weeks that deal with his life. And there's a lot of turning of pages. We're going to spend most of our time in the book of Acts. So you make sure if you got a ribbon in your Bible or a marker, you know, you might want to stick it in the book of Acts, because we're going to be there quite a bit of the time. And so let's turn to begin there as we look at Timothy's early life. And I'm going to just be taking my time. We're going to be looking at the map. I'm going to be talking about things we're going to discuss and see what we can learn about this young man, Timothy. First of all, we're going to start out with his roots. What do we know about his roots? Well, here in in Acts chapter 16, in verse number 1, we read, "Then came he to Derbe." Now, the "he" here is who? Who came to Derbe? It's Paul. Okay? It's the Apostle Paul. He's on his second missionary journey. "And then came Paul to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, and his father was a Greek." All right, now, several things we notice right here, right off. All right, first of all, Timothy's father was a Greek. Now, by a Greek, that's another name for a Gentile. All right, it didn't mean that he was necessarily just from Greece, but a Greek was a term that referred to a Gentile. So he was not a Jew. His mom was a Jew. And we're going to find later, in just a few moments, that his grandmother was also a believer, and she was a Jew. Now, as you look at this, it introduces him by the name Timotheus. Now, I did a search of this, and the word Timothy is in the Bible about 24 times, I believe. And most of the time it is translated Timotheus, the other times it's translated Timothy. And I scratched my head, and why did the translators do that? I don't know. Sometimes they just wanted to be unique. But it all means the same thing. It's all Timothy. Whether it says Timotheus or Timothy, it's the same word in the Greek. It's Timothy. All right? So we're going to just refer to him as Timothy. We won't be calling him Timotheus. But the reason it's Timotheus, anybody know why that's the "theus" on the end? That's what the Greek word is. All right? It's a transliteration of the Greek. The Greek name is Timotheus. And the English name is Timothy. And so some of the times they've transliterated it, and other times they have translated it. And that's the difference between the two there. All right, so it says here that his mother was a Jew, and we know nothing about where she came from. She was a Jewess. She came obviously originally from Israel someplace, and so she was a Jewish lady, and his father was a Greek. So here's a mixed marriage. Why she married a Gentile, we don't know. We don't know anything about his father. We don't know whether he was opposed to scriptural things or just, you know, careless about it. There doesn't seem to be any indication that he adopted things of the Lord. Otherwise, it might have said that he was a proselyte of Jew. Nothing was said about him being a proselyte. So we're kind of assuming that Timothy's father was not a believer and not really interested in the things of God, but maybe not really against it. All right? So The reason I say maybe not really against it is because Timothy, as we saw in our opening verse, and we'll look at this in a moment, he was taught the scriptures by his mom and his grandmother. And so being taught the scriptures, if his father was absolutely against it, it would have made it very difficult to be able to do that in the home. So we can assume that his father was not against the things of God, but nothing indicates that he was for the things of God either. And then turn over to, again, keep a marker there. In fact, I'm going to do that too. Just keep a marker there in Acts 16. We're going to be back there lots of times, and we'll keep moving on from there. But turn over now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we see his mother and grandmother mentioned. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. All right, so what does unfeigned mean? All right, it means not hypocritical, a sincere faith. So Paul said, when I saw this, when I see the sincere faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and I am and in thy mother Eunice, or Eunice, I've heard it pronounced either way. And I am persuaded that it is in thee also. All right, so Paul's commending Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I know that you have a sincere faith. You have a genuine faith. And you know, as we look at that, if someone is evaluating your life, if someone is just recognizing and thinking about you, what would they say about your faith? Is there enough evidence in your life? Is there enough evidence in the way you live, the way you look, the way you act, the way you talk, that would condemn you as a sincere lover of God? That's a sober question for us to ask. Because people around us, a lot of people that know you and meet you and see you maybe at work or in the shops or the neighbors or whatever the case may be, really the only Christianity or the only scripture that many of those people see is what they see in your life. And Paul was able to look at Timothy and said, Timothy, I see in you a sincere faith. And I saw the same thing in your mother, and I also saw it in your grandmother. They had a sincere faith. All right, we see also that you can keep your finger there in Timothy. We're going to be back there in just a moment. But back in Acts chapter 16 again, notice also that Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. Now take a look at our map here. All right, on our map here, you got Israel down here, the small little Israel down here. Paul began his missionary journey from up here in Antioch of Syria, and he began there in that first missionary journey. Who went with him on that first journey? All right, Barnabas. All right, Barnabas and Mark. And they left Antioch and went down and crossed Cyprus. And then they took ship and they came up here to Pamphylia. And it was there at Pamphylia that Mark said, you know, I don't like this idea. I think I'm heading back home. And he turned around, got another ship and went back home. But Paul and Barnabas continued on up. They went on up into Galatia area. And as they got up in here, they preached the gospel in this area, and one of the places they went to was Antioch of Asia or Syria or Galatia over here. Antioch, there's another Antioch over here. They went there, but then they moved across, and because of persecution, they ended up in Lystra. All right, and Lystra is right about here on your map. So they ended up in Lystra, and that's where Timothy lived, and his mom and grandmother. Paul first meets them on his first missionary journey. He's with Barnabas. It's Paul and Barnabas. Now, one of the things that's fascinating, you want to have a fascinating experience, do a Google search or a map search or a Google Earth search of Turkey. It is covered with mountains. I mean, there's mountains everywhere on here. Their trip up through here, it wasn't just kind of a walk down through a leisurely path. It's up and down and over and around all the mountains. There's full of mountains there. And, you know, it was a dangerous place. And anytime there's mountains, there's bandits and things of that hiding out. And maybe when they're on the port here and they're sitting in the local village there, and they're discussing and making plans, and Paul's probably asking questions about where's the best route to go up in there, and people are telling him all about this dangerous stuff. It could be all that stuff that they were hearing that Mark said, I don't know, I don't like this idea. You know, he's just a young man, and he thinks, you know, I'm nervous about this. I don't like this idea. I think I'm headed back home. And he took off. But Paul and Barnabas headed up there, and they went. And then when they got there, they moved to Lystra because of persecution. There was persecution in the place that they'd been, and so they left there, and they headed toward Lystra. And we find examples of that earlier in their first missionary journey, and we're not digging into Paul's life right now, so we won't go back into that. But here this verse here in Acts chapter 16, Paul meets them, and he's first introduced to Timothy here in Acts chapter 16. Now, he probably met Timothy during his first missionary journey. All right? Nothing's mentioned about that as far as when he actually met him first, but when he comes back, the first mention of Timothy is right here in Acts 16, verse number 1. All right, now, back to Timothy again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3, where we began this evening, and look at those verses again. The verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That is a fascinating verse. Because when you look up the word child in the Bible is often the word technon. This isn't the word technon. This one's a word that literally means an embryo. It means a fetus. It can mean a newborn babe or an infant. But it refers to the child when he's very, very young, often in the mother's womb. And it says here that when you were a child, when you were an embryo, when you were in your mom's womb, when you were just a tiny babe in her arms, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. His mother's testimony, her reading the Scriptures, her quoting the Scriptures. Now remember, even as we mentioned this morning, owning the Scriptures, even in the New Testament days, was not a common thing. In the Old Testament, it was a rare thing to be able to own any of the Scriptures because it hadn't advanced that much and there wasn't that much of the Scriptures. But now, in the New Testament times, there was more opportunities, and there were probably a lot of people that had made copies of some Scriptures, but owning the Scriptures was not an easy thing. So often what they would do is they would learn Scriptures when they would read the Scriptures in the synagogue. They would listen carefully with their memories, and they'd memorize Scriptures, and they'd go home and they'd recite them. And so they'd memorize the Scriptures and go over and over them. And Timothy, as a babe, a teeny tiny babe, even in his mom's womb, he heard her read the Scriptures or quote the Scriptures over and over again. And Paul says here that they made thee wise unto salvation. Now that's important. Because it is the Scriptures that will open a child's heart and their mind to the salvation that God offers. And reading the Scriptures to our children and training them to read the Scriptures themselves at an early age is very, very, very important. Because it's the Scriptures that God is going to use to convict their heart and to correct them. Remember that verse, as we read down to the next verse, in verse 16. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, doctrine. That's teaching. And for reproof. That's convicting when we do wrong. For correction, that's helping us get right once we've admitted we were wrong. And for instruction in righteousness, that's how to live right after we get right with God. And he says, the Scripture will teach you this, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what we need is we need the Scriptures. And we need it from the time we're teeny tiny children. Little teeny tiny children need to hear the Scriptures. You say, well, my little kid, he's only a crying infant. Well, he can't hear the Scriptures. Of course he can hear the Scriptures. And that can go over in his heart and his mind, even though he's a teeny tiny baby. Even babes in their mom's womb, they can hear the Scriptures when mom reads the Scriptures or says it out loud. And that is something that's very, very important. And so Timothy heard the Scriptures, and it is the Scriptures that builds faith. Remember Romans 10:17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The Word of God. All right? It's the Scriptures that build faith in a person's heart. And so, Scriptures are very, very important in a child's life. So this is the start of the roots of Timothy. Now let's take a look at his conversion. What do we know about his conversion? Well, during Paul's first missionary journey, now Paul's first missionary journey was from about, and these dates that I'm going to give you are estimates, they're based on obvious calculations, but probably between 46 and 47 A.D. All right? So, Christ died somewhere around 30 to 33 A.D. All right? And so this is, what, 15, 16 years later, after Christ went to heaven, that Paul and Barnabas went on their first missionary journey. And that's when they left here of Antioch, Syria. They went across Cyprus, came up in, and they evangelized in this area of Turkey, the central part of Turkey. And then they came back and headed back to Antioch. And this, during that time, it was that Paul had gone to Lystra. We see in chapter 14 of Acts. All right, Acts chapter 14. And back up just a little bit at his first missionary journey. In verses 5 and 6, chapter 14, verse 5, and it says, "And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with the rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the regions that lieth round about." Alright, so Paul's preaching the gospel. He's there in Iconium, and he's preaching the gospel, and they're threatening, they're planning, they're plotting to kill him. And so Paul escapes. He wasn't anxious to die by stoning, and so he escaped, and they came down to, from there to, Iconium's up here more, and he came down there to Lystra, and he's preaching the gospel there in Lystra. Alright, so that's where we find him. And remember, Lystra's where Timothy lived. And so he's preaching the gospel there, and it was likely this time that Timothy heard the gospel for the first time. Now, remember, his mom was a Jew. The Jews knew about God, but the Jews didn't know him personally as a Savior until they received him. You know, it's not about, you kids know lots about God. You've been in Sunday school. You know about God, but knowing about God doesn't save anybody. Alright, the devils know about God, but that doesn't save them. But it's not until we personally receive Christ as our Savior that He changes our life. So Timothy had known about God, and he knew about God through the Scriptures. His mom had read them. His grandmother had read them. They quoted them, and they talked about them around the table. He knew about the Scriptures, but he probably came to know Christ during Paul's preaching. And the reason we suspect that is because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 2, Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith. Now, he could have been just being personal with him, but it's very likely, he refers to him that way a couple of times in Scripture, and so it's very likely that Paul had a part in young Timothy's conversion. And many people suspect that it was during this time, during his first missionary trip, that Paul's preaching had an effect on young Timothy. Now, stop and think with me. What all did Timothy see that during that visit, when Paul was there in Lystra that first time on his first missionary journey, what all did Timothy see and experience that would have an impact on him spiritually? What happened to Paul there in Lystra? That is where he was stoned and left for dead. And when these people are chucking these big rocks at him and smashing him in the head, and the blood's running out of his ears and out of his mouth, and his teeth are broken out, and he's all bashed up, and he's laying there in a heap, they made sure, as far as they were concerned, he was dead. They smashed him another one and said, just in case he isn't dead, I'm going to give him another one. And then they dragged him out, threw him on the rubbish heap to rot, and God raised him up. Now, the question that none of us can answer, and people have debated over, was he really dead and God raised him to life? Or was he still kicking and God raised him up from, you know, almost dead? Nobody knows, and it doesn't really matter. That's not the point. But Paul was stoned and left for dead. And Timothy very likely was there to watch what happened. I mean, can you imagine? Timothy in the crowd with his mom and grandmother, and they're listening to Paul preach. And Paul's preaching and telling them about Jesus Christ. And on comes the rowdies that are angry with Paul, and they grab a hold of him, and right in front of everybody, and they start chucking rocks at him and trying to kill him. And they ended up piling the rocks on him and killing him and dragging him out. And Timothy sees all this. What kind of an impact would have that had on that young man's life? We don't know how old he was, but all through his life, Paul referred to him as a young man. There in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he tells him, "Let not no man despise thy youth." So he was young. So could be that he was just a teenager, or maybe even younger than that when Paul was there the first time. We do not know. But he heard Paul preach, he saw what was taking place, he was there, that had a huge impact on his life. We find that Paul then returned after he was stoned there. I mean, Paul was an amazing man. If I had been stoned and left for dead, and I, you know, my friends helped me get up, and I'm aching from head to toe, and you got, you know, pains everywhere from all the rocks. My first response would be, "Let's go home. I want out of here." But Paul escaped. He went out to some of the neighboring areas there. And then he said, "Well, we can't go home until we go back there and confirm those believers. Those new believers that are there, we've got to strengthen them. We've got to make sure that they are strong in the faith." And he goes right back into Lystra. I'm thinking, boy, that wouldn't be me. I'm a coward. I would have headed the other direction. But Paul, by the power of God, he goes back into Lystra. He confirms the believers. He ordains elders or preachers to be there to strengthen them, to build them up, and to feed them. And so what these weren't just ignorant people. Remember, there were Jewish people that, just like Timothy's mom and grandmother, who knew lots and lots about God. They knew the scriptures. They would go to the synagogue. They knew the scriptures well. And now the pieces are all falling together. And now Paul says, the one you've been studying, the one you read about in Isaiah, he is this Christ. He has died and rose again. He paid the debt for our sins. That's the Messiah. And they received him as their Savior. So now it all clicks together. So when Paul ordained elders, it wasn't like, "Oh, this guy just came out of paganism yesterday, and we'll call him a preacher today because we need a preacher." No, these were educated, intelligent Jewish people who knew the scriptures well, but now they knew Christ is on top of that, and they were the ones that he put in charge. So they're the ones that are left there, and for the next 4 to 8 years, we don't know exactly, depends on when Paul started his first missionary journey and exactly when he started his second one, but it's somewhere between 4 and 8 years, Timothy's left alone there at home. And during that time, God did a great work in his life. He grew spiritually in amazing ways. And so Paul now finishes up his missionary journey. He heads back down to Pamphylia, and takes ship and goes back to Antioch, and he reports to the churches of the great work that God had done for them there. All right, so that's Paul's first missionary journey. And so Timothy was impacted by that during his first missionary journey. Now, the first mention of this young man we saw there in Acts 16, verse 1. All right, Acts 16, verse 1. And this was on Paul's second missionary journey. Now, on Paul's second missionary journey, he didn't follow the boat this time. He this time left from Syria, and he went up and through this way and through Cilicia and came in by land. Well, I know. What town would have he passed through as he went that direction, right about here? Anybody remember? Tarsus. Anybody want Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus, his home. All right? So he leaves Antioch, and he goes through his home area, and then he preaches the gospel, and he works his way over, and he confirms these churches, goes and strengthens these churches. And that's where, when he comes a second time to Lystra, this is where we find him in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. He now meets Timothy for the first time, maybe that really clicked. You know, the first time he met him on his first missionary journey, it's just this young fellow that, kind of responded to the invitation, and praise God for that. But he didn't really know anything about Timothy. But now he goes back there and he meets him, and we see in verse number 2, the speaking of Timothy, it says, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. What a testimony. Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. Why? He had grown spiritually. You know, folks, listen, that's something important. When we trust Christ our Savior, God doesn't want us to sit on our duff and do nothing. He wants us to grow. He wants us to read the Scriptures and let God change our lives and allow our lives to become different. And now Timothy, this young man, after 4 to 8 years, let's say it was 8 years, you know, maybe he was 10 or 12 when he first met Paul. Now he's 18 or 20. Just guessing and estimating. But say he's 18 or 20 or maybe even 25 now. And the people of the whole area around knew about Timothy. All the people around there said, that young man loves God. What a testimony. His life was shining for Christ. And people around saw that. He was a teachable young man. Where did he learn all this? Well, evidently he learned it from the elders that Paul had ordained as the pastors of the church there in Lystra before he finished his first missionary journey. They had expounded the Scriptures to him. They had opened it up. Mom and grandma had opened up the Scriptures more to him and encouraged him and helped him. And he grew in the Lord. You know, that is something every one of us, no matter how long you've been a Christian, God wants you to grow. God wants you to grow. God doesn't want you to finish up 2023 the same condition you are right now. God wants you to be a stronger, more faithful, more vibrant Christian than you are right now. That needs to be your goal. I want to grow this year. I want to be a better Christian by the end of the year than I am right now. That needs to be our goal. And Timothy was that kind of young man. And this second missionary journey of Paul's was started in about 51 to 54, somewhere in there, this area that covered that. It was gone for a while. So 51 to 54 A.D. was when he was out there preaching the gospel the second time. Now, we see, look at verse number 3. This is a key one. Acts 16:3. Him, speaking of Timothy, him would Paul have go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was a Greek. All right, now, a couple of important things here. First of all, Paul chose Timothy to go with him. Why? Of all the people Paul had met, why Timothy? And Paul wasn't out there on a journey looking for, you know, we're just short of hands here. We need somebody else to go with us. It wasn't that. Paul saw something in young Timothy that was promising. He said, that young man has got... God has got work for that young man. I could see it. He is a man of promise. He is a man of character. Folks, listen. That's what we need. We need to have such a change in our life and such a passion for God that people will look at us and say, that person has got potential for God. They're going to do something for God. If they'll let God have His way in their life, God's got a plan for them. There is something for them to do because look at their life. And Timothy was that kind of a young man. And Paul said, I want that young man to go with us. And by this time, he's got Silas with him on his second missionary journey. And Silas might have said, well, Paul, we hardly have, you know, food enough to feed ourselves. We have to work extra each day to be able to provide food for ourselves. How are you going to take another guy along? Paul says, no, God's laid it on my heart. That young man's got promise and we need him. And he ended up being one of Paul's most faithful companions to the rest of Paul's life. And young Timothy joined with their mission band and headed out with them that day as they left Lystra. And here he is, a young man. We don't know how old. Let's just guess. Let's just say he was between 20 and 25 years old. He heads out with Paul, this great missionary preacher, the missionary that had been there 8 years ago, and he saw stoned and left for dead and laying out on the rubbish heap. That same missionary came back, and Timothy says, I want to be with him. Now, what kind of thoughts would have been going through young Timothy's mind? This missionary life is not going to be a gravy life. This missionary life isn't one of going out and finding some happy times. This isn't a time of just going out and having a good time and partying and getting along with all the buddies. This isn't going to be, I'm going to have to leave home. I may never see home again. I may never even live to see the end of this trip. This is not an easy thing. And he heads off with Paul and they head off to across this area here. Now, this is a long distance across here. You know, I tried calculating all the distances, but from Lystra to Troas is some over 200 kilometers. I mean, it's a long way across there. And again, it's not down some paved road. We're talking about across the mountains, over the rivers, through the valleys. It was not easy. And they traveled all that way, and as they're going along, they're preaching the gospel, and Paul's praying and asking God, I want to go up into Galatia, I want to go up into Bithynia, and the Spirit of God says, no, I don't want you to do that. And they kept going until they got to Troas, which is over here on the coast, and when they got to Troas, that's where Paul was praying, and he saw this vision of a guy from Macedonia, and said, come over and help us. So Macedonia's over here, and he says, come on over and help us. And so Paul said, must be God's telling to go to Macedonia. And so they immediately started to make plans to go to Macedonia. Now here, Silas is there, young Timothy's there, they're on this missionary journey, they just crossed all these mountains, it's exhausting, they're tired, it's been a hard trip, and now they're getting, and God says, I want you to go to Macedonia. So they head across, they get a ship, and they head across this water here, and they go over there, and they head to Philippi. And when they get to Philippi, what takes place? Well, they get to Philippi, and in Acts chapter 16, and verse number 12, it says, and from thence they went to Philippi, which is the chief city of those parts of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days, and the Sabbath went out of the city by the riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted thither. All right, and you read the rest of the story here, and Paul's preaching the gospel there unto these people that were gathered for prayer on the shore of the river, and Lydia got saved. And there was a great revival there. And Lydia says, come on, you can stay at my house. I've got a big house. You can stay at my house. You three fellas can come. That'll be fine. And so these three missionaries went and started staying at Lydia's house. But you know the story as you read on through Acts 16, what happens? There's a riot and the people attack Paul and they say this guy's causing trouble and they take him to the city magistrates and they strip off their clothes and they beat them with rods until they're black and blue and bloody, and they throw them in the depths of the deepest prison and told the jailer, you keep a good close eye on these guys and don't let them out. A real happy time. Now Timothy's with them, nothing said about Timothy getting beat up because he's just the young fellow that's kind of tagging along, and he kind of hid back in the distance a bit maybe. And Luke was probably with them at this time as well. Luke was Paul's personal physician that traveled with them. But as they traveled down there, Paul and Silas ended up getting beaten and thrown into prison, and that's the night that God does this great earthquake and the jailer gets saved and all these events that take place. And I'm kind of summarizing all this because that's not our purpose for tonight. Our purpose tonight is to just see what was taking place in Timothy's life. All right. Now, I'm going to draw it to a close right now because our time is spent, but I want you to see here that when Paul left Philippi, he headed over to Berea. All right, and next week we'll talk a little bit about that. Berea and Thessalonica and Berea were over in here. He headed toward Thessalonica. And there's good indications that Paul left Timothy and Luke there in Philippi to strengthen the church. Because as you read Luke, remember Luke was the one that wrote the book of Acts. And most of the time, he uses the word we. But then all of a sudden, he starts talking about they. Like he wasn't there at that time. And so, there's good indication that Paul, having to flee Philippi, may have left Timothy and Luke there in Philippi for a few days to build up the people, strengthen them, and help them, and to build them up in the faith, while Paul moved on to Thessalonica and began preaching there until he got run out of there and headed over to Berea and then he got run out of there. And so that was his common practice, but we'll meet Timothy when we come back there next week in Berea. So I'll make a note here that that's where we stopped. But what I want us to see here is, why would Paul be able to leave Timothy there to care for the church? Timothy was a man of character and a person who had compassion on others. Paul mentions this, and we'll see this later on, that Paul mentions is he describes Timothy. He says, there's nobody else that I know of that will care for your soul like he will. This was an amazing young man. And he's only been with Paul a short time. I mean, he's only traveled from here to here. And it might have taken him a good long time to come across here. You go a couple hundred kilometers across the mountains, you're not talking about 2 days. So they had a good long time. Might have taken him a couple months to get across there. Who knows? But he had lots of time. He's right there with Paul. What a mentor. Can you imagine sitting with the Apostle Paul 24 hours a day with him and listening to him and having him as your teacher and trainer and your mentor? What a privilege. And Timothy was privileged and all that. But he saw in Timothy, there's a young man that I can trust. He's got compassion. He knows how to encourage people. And I can trust him. And he may have left him there in Philippi to build up those people. I know he's sending back to Philippi at different times to build up the people. So we see this. Now, so as we just review slightly here for our benefit here, we see that Paul was able to trust Timothy. And one thing that I didn't mention, it talked about him being circumcised. And you might wonder, well, why did he circumcise him? Paul wasn't pushing circumcision. Circumcision was something of the Jews. But he said he did that because of the Jews in the area. Because they all knew that his dad was a Greek. And so Paul did that specifically, not because he believed that circumcision was part of salvation, but to just make it so that the Jews that were around wouldn't reject their message. Because remember, they're just trying to reach the gospel, and you come in there with a Gentile, and they say, we're not listening to you, you got this Gentile with you. And then Paul said, no, he's been circumcised. And so that would calm their fears, and they'd be more open to the gospel. So all of these things, you look at this, one of the things I want you to tuck in your mind, and we'll finish it up next week, and that is that this young man, Timothy, was a man of character and a man that we need to follow as a model in our lives. Now, I'm not holding him up as God or anything like that, but he is a godly model. You know, people of our world today, they hold up all kinds of people as heroes. They have all sports heroes. And the sports heroes of our day are often drunks or drug addicts or perverts of some sort or another, but they may be good at their sport. That's not the kind of hero we want. We want a hero like Timothy. Timothy was a man of God, a man who loved God, a man who walked with God, a man who grew. And this young man, he wasn't very old, but he was a young man who had made a reputation for his walk with God. That's the kind of people we want as heroes. And so think about your life this year and ask yourself, what do I want my life to be like at the end of this year? And I challenge you, set goals, pray and say, God, would you help me to grow this year? By the end of the year, I want to be a stronger Christian than I am right now. I want to be more faithful to you. I want to be more dedicated to you. I want to be more passionate for you. I want to be used of God. May that be your goal today.